This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the morning run continues. Tan Chung Han, Julian Ng, myself, Sharad Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. And we turn our attention first to Donald Trump and his ongoing unfolding of his legislative agenda. And this time, it's his tax plan. Remember, of course, he failed with his repeal and replace on the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. Now, the question is, will he be as successful with the tax plan?
All right, so yeah. D-Day is coming up, at least for the announcement of this proposed tax plan, Wednesday, April 26. President Donald Trump wants to make this announcement, hopefully, or as he says, very shortly after. In other words, you know, he needs a big win for the American voters, right? Because, I mean, look, we are nearing the 100-day mark now, and he'll mark 100 days in office, I think, on the 29th. You know, from then, from day one until now, you know, essentially, you know, he's... had very little success in terms of those big ticket items, right? Like you mentioned earlier, Sharad, you know, repealing Obamacare or you know the immigration reform. I mean, he did sign a slew of executive orders into place. I mean, yes, he did remove the U.S. from the TPP, but in terms of those big ticket items, you know, Trump is very much lacking in that area.
So this is a very sharp tax cut from 35% to 15% for corporations. And of course, the budget deficit is going to be an issue because the Joint Committee on Taxation, which is a bipartisan committee, says that this will cost the U.S. government $2 trillion over a decade. And what they're going to do is the Republicans that is are going to use a procedural tool which could require just an extremely tiny majority to get the tax passed through. But the upshot of that is that you cannot have deficits for more than a decade. So which means that a lot of this tax cut is not going to be permanent. And the question then becomes whether you should have a smaller tax cut and make that permanent or a huge tax cut and make that impermanent, right?
One of the things I understand, Julian, you know, from the talk around the repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act was it was necessary to do that first before the tax reform because if it was successful, it would have given the executive space to do the tax reform. Now, with the failure of the Affordable Care Act, of the repeal and replace, is Donald Trump actually kind of caught between a rock and a hard place in terms of trying to push through his tax reform agenda?
I think it's really hard to second guess what Donald Trump is trying to do because it's just ruled by tweeting, right? But as we have spoken to Joe Quinlan this morning, I think Donald Trump is retreating from a lot of his pre-election rhetoric. You know, he is moving away from excessive protectionist policies. He's not labeled China any kind of name. So I think it remains to be seen how they're going to get this tax cut through. And I think that's going to be independent of the Obamacare, although I think people on the other side of the divide would hold him to his pre-election words to repeal the Obamacare and come up with something better. But as of right now, he's just trying to boost the economy with this so-called tax cut. And I'm not sure whether this is going to be a zero-sum game because when you cut taxes, you've got to find your money elsewhere to reflate the economy. For example, would you impose a very punitive consumption tax?
Right, you know, I think that's key because, you know, right now, if he's going to reduce that corporate tax rate by 20 percentage points, you know, that means that, you know, that is less money flowing into the federal government's coffers, right? So, you know, I think it really does beg the question here, is a fiscal deficit really that bad after all? Because, you know, if the idea is to, you know, put more money into the hands or the pockets of U.S. corporates so that they can create more jobs, so that they can go about investing and, you know, expanding the private sector, then, you know, and hopefully that will translate into that higher GDP growth. You know, the White House has spoken about 3% or higher. You know, so again, you know, is the fiscal deficit such a bad thing after all? You know, but I think also, you know, in keeping with the this proposal right here, even the timeline is very much in doubt because, yes, you know, Trump, you know, as usual, he wants to talk big. He says, I want to make this announcement by Wednesday or shortly thereafter. But you've got officials within his budget office who then say, well, details could not be around until June, right? So we could be a ways off from actually finding out what this corporate tax plan or this overhaul in corporate taxes really means. But as it stands right now, according to media reports, what we can latch on to, 20 percentage point cut.
What about, very quickly, what about the fact that the market has been so bullish on the basis of hopes that of financial deregulation and tax reform? If he doesn't really deliver, is this going to be really bad for the market? The market's running out of patience with him?
Well, I think that he's trying to will this into existence. And it's clear that he's making policy on the side of the corporation. So I think stock market participants would continue to feel a sense of euphoria over what's happening. And the other thing that if you really want to be on that the corner for the corporations is a tax amnesty, because as we all know, there's a few trillion dollars that's stashed outside of America, and perhaps it's more effective to have a kind of tax amnesty to bring that money back without any punishment, and that could be a big boost to either U.S. corporations or the U.S. economy.
And it's not just them, also investors as well, right? Because, you know, going back to your question there, Sharad, you know, like, have or do markets still have enough patience given the lack of policy traction by President Donald Trump? And you know, they have been a pretty patient lot of sorts. But then now with these kind of developments, also coupled with recent comments by Steve Mnuchin, you know, like, essentially that these tax reforms are closer than they are further away. You know, so perhaps this is enough for investors to kind of hang their hat on and you know, bring money back into the U.S. markets.
I think we also cannot look at this without looking at what happened in France over the weekend, because this is going to be a two-handed race between Emmanuel Macron, which is more centrist, who is more centrist, and Marie Le Pen. So the markets right now are breathing a kind of sigh of relief, and people are now talking about the idea of peak populism, that, you know, politicians who try to exploit this enfranchisement not going to get a free meal, right? They're going to get a good run for their money by more centrist candidates. And the markets are breathing a sigh of relief for that. But it's also interesting to see the relationship of Donald Trump, who has been moving away from his protectionist rhetoric as well as his relationship with Europe going forward.
Well, you know, tax is not just an American story. It's a story from everywhere, including Malaysia, also China.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got the world's second largest economy also seeing its major tax overhaul. Now, while Trump's proposal is slated for April 26th, their time, but if you look forward to May 1st, that's when China's biggest tax overhaul in about two decades will go into effect. So essentially, the plan is to, you know, ease corporate payments by some $77 billion this year. And the goal essentially is, you know, I mean, we've got similar themes at play here. You know, not just the fiscal deficit. For example, China expects to hold a fiscal deficit of about 3% to their GDP this year. And guess what? That's all the same number that Malaysia has targeted for this year as well, 3% of GDP. But again, you know, it's essentially trying to target specific key industries, you know, retail, consumption, services, you know, ultimately, you know, adding more fire to that newer engine of growth being domestic consumption.
I think it's not, again, going to be a zero-sum game as in the United States as well, because you're going to boost tax cuts by, which is going to be offset by austerity from a local government. They're going to take money away from the local governments, as well as possibly imposing some degree of consumption taxes. China has also been in a deficit for a while, and it's a very indebted nation. The question is how China is going to juggle this all on the back of those numbers. I remember that over the last 2 years, they have burnt about $1 trillion defending the currency.
That's a good point, because you've got very recent comments from very early this morning, Malaysian time, from the People's Bank of China. You know, that's the central bank. The governor, Zhou Xiaochuan, you know, basically, you know, trying to allay concerns there, you know, points that Julian just raised earlier. So, for example, their bad loans, those non-performing loans, NPLs. And according to the central bank, it's stabilized. Also, the pressures from capital outflows, they have eased. If you recall, last month, the foreign reserves for China actually rose above that psychologically important 3 trillion US dollar mark, you know, and that was beyond expectations because markets were expecting and economists were expecting it to, you know, fall even further. So, you know, you've got the, again, the People's Bank of China is essentially trying to seize those concerns that markets have. But, you know, if you look at some of the other signs, though, for example, if you go down to what banks are doing, essentially, that's not good enough for them. They are trying to pull out of this 1.7 trillion US dollar market in Chinese investments, specifically what they called entrusted investments. So you've got the PBOC saying one thing, but you got markets and banks in particular doing something else.
Okay, we'll come back with more business news after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.